because it was not announced Sunday morning. And Trey asked me after church whether I'd be available because there'd be some who wouldn't be doing the walking. And I said I would be available. The reason he didn't announce it, he'd not talked to me beforehand, and he didn't know if we were going to be here or whether we had other plans. So I was glad to be able to fill in and have something from God's Word we hope will be a blessing to you tonight. Let's just have a word of prayer before we begin our study. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you again for the opportunity of opening your Word and for the opportunity of just glorifying you tonight through that which you have given to us through the Scripture. But most of all, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be our instructor. In Jesus' name we ask with thanksgiving. Amen. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3 this evening. Philippians chapter 3, I'm not going to be doing a whole chapter study, but just several verses that I think are significantly important for the church, for the Christian in our pilgrim's journey. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, though I'm going to start just a little bit earlier than that, and I'm going to start with verse 10. Well, let's be found in verse 9, actually. Paul, in that first part, talks about not counting anything that he had accomplished as anything worthwhile. He talked about his being, in fact, he lists seven things that he was as a Jew that put him kind of on first base or home run, actually, in the Jewish ideas, the ideologies. And he talked about, as far as Judaism, he said, actually, concerning the law, he was blameless. But then he says in verse 9, or verse 8, yet doubtless I count all things, talking about the things he had accomplished. He was a Pharisee, he was a Benjaminite, he was an Israelite, he was circumcised the eighth day, he was a Pharisee, he was perfect as far as their eyes were concerned. He said, all this stuff, all this religious performances, I count but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The excellency means simply that he would have the total view and appreciation and joy of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, or laid them aside. I didn't glory in these any longer, and count them but refuge, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, or might arrive at that point. Not as though I had already attained or arrived or accomplished or achieved, either were already perfect or totally spiritually mature, but I follow after, I continue going forward in this whole thing, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, and here are the verses, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In this particular area, Paul says, I count everything that religiously, ceremonially, culturally were to my credit, I count them as worthless. Because without God's redeeming grace, all that we do, folks, is of no spiritual value. And he said, my real desire is to be found in Christ, to be one of his children, to be embraced by his saving grace. And then he goes on and says, verse 13, brethren, and of course that includes the women as well, it's a generic term for believers, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, what's that word apprehended really mean? It's an old English term that has varied meanings. Many times today we think of it being arrested or to be seized or that kind of thing. In other words, I broke the law and I was what? Apprehended. Now, that's not what Paul means here. That's not how it's being used here. Another way is where it's an anticipation of something that is caused by anxiety. You heard a person say, well, I'm rather apprehensive about this. It's not what the word is here. The Greek word here is better translated a grasp with understanding. To grasp with understanding. And so what Paul is saying here, brethren, I count not myself to have fully grasped with total understanding. I don't know everything Paul's saying. I have a lot to learn yet. And so he wants the people to understand at Philippi that he is still growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of Christ. Now, having said that, he said, because I have not fully apprehended, I have not fully grasped with full understanding, I have a real driving desire. I want you to notice something. He says, but this one thing I do. Now, when you read this, it sounds like there are three things, doesn't it? He says, this one thing I do. Then he goes on to say, forgetting those things which are behind. Number two, reaching forth to those who injured before. And number three, pressing toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No, actually, there's only one thing. Here is the way the verse actually is being focused. Notice with me. I count not myself to have apprehended or to come to grasp with full understanding. But this one thing I do. Now, what the one thing he's going to do is, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the one thing that was his driving goal in his Christian journey, to press toward the mark. Now, where did these other two things come in? These other two things are those things which will help him to meet that one thing. In other words, how can I continue pressing toward the mark? One thing is forgetting those things which are behind. The other thing is reaching forth to those things which are before. You understand? So he's not talking about three things. He says, my one driving desire is to press toward the mark. And the way I can do that is by two things, forgetting that which is behind and reaching to that which is before. My challenge in our Bible study tonight, folks, is we should have that one same singular driving desire in our lives to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that prize, that mark? We'll discuss that a little later this evening. Let's go back up, though, and look at several other important things. If I'm going to be able to effectively press toward that mark, whatever it may be, what's going to be necessary in my life and in yours? First of all, I'm going to have to forget that which is behind. Now, don't misunderstand Paul. He's not saying forget your history, okay? Folks, history is important. History helps define our future. But history does not necessarily direct our future. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. History is important. History helps us define our future. Our future should always grow out of our history, because our history has become the foundational factor for which we are going to go forward. But it does not determine our future. That we determine. Let me illustrate it. What happens if a person disregards their history? They become vulnerable. They become tenuous toward any kind of ideology that is totally alien to why they ever started. I think we have a case at hand right in our presence today. our political leadership, at least in the liberal camp, has really forgotten history. They've really forgotten history. Or even some have even tried to rewrite history. They have forgotten that our nation's historical background was based upon Judeo-Christian principles. That those men who gathered in Philadelphia many years ago to draw up the Constitution of the United States of America spent the first day wondering, debating, and discussing, and finally came to the conclusion, we of all men are too weak and too unknowledgeable to form a constitution to govern this new birthed nation. And you know what they did? They left and walked across the street to a little church. And the next 3 days, they spent in the Word of God and prayer. That, folks, is our history. That, folks, is what helped to direct our future. You see why, if you forget your history, though it doesn't determine your future, it helps to direct it. And so you forget the Judeo-Christian principles upon which our nation was founded. And what happens? You come up with same-sex marriage because you forgot your history. You forgot that which was the foundation of the country. You come up with abortion being okay, even at the birth moment of a child, because it's the woman's right. We forgot our history. You see what happens? It can happen in a denomination. It can happen in a church. History is important. Why we are who we are is important. It helps to direct our future, but it does not determine our future. And so Paul's not talking about forgetting your history. Watch with me, I think, what he's sharing here. I forget those things which are behind. I think in our own Christian development, there are two great areas that can stymie or blighten our spiritual growth. And one of them is forgetting or remembering those things in the past that were difficult, things that perhaps were wrong. Maybe a life in your history that has some, we call it skeletons in the closet, that were not too pleasant. Paul says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Satan loves to bring your old past up. Did you know that? He loves to bring up that which is under the blood and which is forgotten in God's memory. Remember what it says? When we confess our sin, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us over and over again, when God forgives, he's not like us. Did you ever hear anybody saying, well, I'll forgive it, but I'll never forget it? That's not the way God operates. When God forgives, he forgets. Paul had some things in the past that could have greatly hindered his spiritual growth. And don't you think for a minute Satan didn't bring him up at times? Do you remember when the first Christian martyr was stoned to death? Paul's name was not Paul then. What was it? It was Saul. Did he stone him? No. But the Bible says they cast his garments at his feet. And the next verse following his stoning, the Bible says, and Saul consented unto his death. He was an accomplice to it. And don't you think for a minute, my dear friends, as Paul was seeking to grow in God, pressing toward the mark, that there weren't times in his mind that Satan didn't cause the cries of hurt from the stoning of Stephen. And don't you think for a moment he didn't hear him cry out, Father, or Lord, lay not this sin to their account. That's a gracious man. Paul was on his way to Damascus with the idea of binding and bringing back to Jerusalem for execution any who went in that way. It was called the way at that time. It was a Christian way. Satan, I'm sure, used moments to say, oh, look at that Saul or Paul. What do you mean, trying to be a good person now? Don't you remember what you did? Folks, your past, if it was a failure or if it was in less than positive, can become a hindrance to your going forward, pressing toward the mark. There's another blighting factor. It may not be a negative experience in your past. It can be something that was good, something you've done, something great. And you may sit upon the laurels of your past accomplishments. Those things that you did, you can begin to glory in and say, well, look what I did. And sit back and say, well, I paid my dues, or I've done all of this. And that which is positive in your past can hinder you from being challenged to go forward in the future. That's what Paul means when he said, I forget those things which are past. Not history, but rather the accomplishments or the failures of accomplishments. Don't let either stymie your Christian development. Forgetting the past, he goes on and says, and reaching forth to that which is before. In other words, it's a picture of an athlete, of a runner, of a marathon. And it's a sense of striving, just reaching out with all the energy and all of the determination that person has. Nothing is going to quit or cause that runner, that marathon, to let up on his pursuit. He says, forgetting that which is behind, casting off that which be a weight. He said, and reaching forth to that which is before. Again, it's a picture of striving, just pushing forward with all the energy he has. That's the positive part of Paul's statement, that I'm not going to let my past, whether it was a failure or a success, hold me back, but I'm going to give every effort I can to be that which God wants me to be. Then notice with me, if you will, he said, now, having laid that which is past, pressing toward that, or reaching forth to that which is before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's one burning desire is that he might finish the race well. That was, I think, the mark. The mark was not just his own spiritual growth, but the ultimate mark was one day to see his Savior and to bring glory to the Savior's name and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that is the prize Paul was looking forward to, that glory of heaven. So real was this to Paul that I remind you what he said to the church at Rome. In the midst of all of his sufferings, and by the way, he had some sufferings. He was shipwrecked 3 days in the deep and 3 nights in the deep. He was, he said, beaten with rods. By the way, that was a Roman way of persecuting. He said, 3 times I was stoned, once left as dead. That was the Jewish way of persecution. In fact, he said, I was stoned by my countrymen. And this kind of thing. Yet he said, all of these things I count not dear unto myself, that I may glorify him in his presence. Paul's desire was to press toward the mark of pleasing God in all he did. And that's why Paul, at the end of his life's journey, was able to say so unequivocally, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that last day, but not only to me, but unto all who love his appearing. Paul's desire was to press forward for the glory of God, that when he meets his master and his redeemer, he would hear him say, well done. He did not want to do it for laurels of his own laud or praise. He wanted to do it to please his master. That's what caused Paul to suffer. That's what caused Paul even to be misunderstood. But that's what also caused Paul to keep on keeping on. May that be our challenge tonight for us as Christians in the Turbyville Southern Methodist Church, that though we have not yet apprehended, we haven't yet grasped all with total understanding. And by the way, I'm now 80. Florence, you're not quite there yet. And she says, like, no, what do you mean? I'm not near that anyway. I know she's not. I know. Wormy, you're not either. You just act like it sometimes. But no, you don't. I'm just kidding. You can clobber me at the end of this time. But let me tell you this. I was saved at the age of 10. I've been a Christian 70 years. I haven't grasped it all with understanding. Every time I read it, this wonderful book has something new that's a wow in my life. Remember what I said Sunday about the word wow? In my theology, wow means wonder of wonders. So you can say wow once in a while because this book is full of wonders. But as a church and as you as individuals, though we haven't yet grasped with full understanding, let's have the one goal and desire. Until we meet our Master face to face, that we will press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. You are saved. You are heaven bound. That's settled. But we all want to be able to meet him face to face and hear the words, "You've been a faithful servant. Well done." You see, he never asks you to be successful. He only asks you to be faithful. And how can we do that? Forget the things that are behind you, those negative factors that could hinder, those positive accomplishments which could weight you down because you're so glorying in what you've already done. And then also reaching out to know more, to do more, and to please him more fully, so that when that day of heaven's glory comes, we will please him and he will please us. Question or comment before we go to prayer at this time, or before we take questions, prayer requests rather. Question or comment? Okay, I trust this maybe encourage you somewhat to be more Pauline and having the desire in all of our doing to seek to please him. Okay, prayer requests. We're going to gather around the altar this evening as a smaller group. Certainly, we do want to remember our medical missions team. I believe Big Mama got a Facebook message, and they're all doing crazy good. Ron's not in the hospital yet. Remember last year at this time, I guess it was right near the end of the time. Yeah, it was climbing the mountain. They thought he may have had a heart attack or threatening one. And I believe he flew. Did he fly home early? Yeah, but it was not. It was determined it was exhaustion and dehydration probably. So let's pray for them. Friday they will be going out on their ministry team. In the meantime, during these next several days, they'll be taking care of the dental care as well as other things around the faith home. Secondly, let's remember for the group that's out promoting and inviting people to our back to the school bash, that God will be with them and protect them. I want us to also pray for our country. Another attempted shooting in a theater today. Honey, I forget what the place was. Do you remember the? Okay. I don't think anyone but the shooter was, I think the shooter was killed, injured, yeah, but let's pray. This is becoming almost like a theater pack where they're being attacked now by people. So let's pray. It's just, again, a mark of the demoralization of our country. And let's pray for revival. I did not hear from Vera May in the last several days. I think she's still at Regents, is that correct? Regency? Okay, let's pray for her. Are there others you'd like to mention? Okay. I didn't realize that she was going to have cataract surgery. Wow. Yeah, so yeah, Debbie's kind of between her mom and all the rest of them. She's kind of the hub, and they're the spokes through the wheel. Well, let's pray for Debbie as well, because she has a lot on her. Let's pray for each of these other physical needs. Are there others? Unspoken, all right. Are there any others unspoken? One, two, three, four. All right, let's remember the four that God will honor those with his blessing. Anything else? If not, then let's gather around the altar if you will with me, and we'll have a prayer time then.